Thank you, Rock of Ages. Thank you, our faithful God. Thank you, our Redeemer. Thank you that you are present in our midst. For you said, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in our midst. Lord, we bless you. Thank you as you guide us through your word. Thank you as you look upon us this morning, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your light that you shine upon us as you look upon us. Thank you for your light of grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you as you guide us through your scriptures. Thank you that we won't live here the same way as we have come. Thank you for more grace to humble ourselves as we hear your word. Lord, we give all the glory. Thank you as you speak through me and put your child, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I too, I hear your word. We're all hearers and doers of your word in this place. Lord, we bless you that we won't live here the same way as we have come. Thank you, Rock of Ages, as you pour forth your glory like a river. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your presence in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And everyone says, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Please, let's open to Mark chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 4. And before we look at the verses in there, we all know is the story of the sower. The sower sows the word. But before we look at it, let us recap at some things we've been learning. And what we have seen previously is that we need to apply humility to our hearing of the word of God. We have seen it that God will always correct us. He will always reprove us. We know the word of God is not only the word of blessing, but is also the word of correction and reprove. It is also the word that will instruct us and teach us the way of righteousness. And we know the way of righteousness is the way of truth, the way of God. God is righteousness personified. God is truth. So his ways are way high above our own sinful ways. And so we know that we have to learn the way of truth, the way God does things. We have to know the ways of God and the thoughts of God. And when we are knowing and learning the ways and the thoughts of God, the words of God will correct us, reprove us of our own falling ways, the ways we used to think and do things and talk, how we go about doing things. The word of God will correct us even in attitude and even in things we're planning to do or the intentions of the heart. The word of God will correct us because the ways of God, they are higher than our own ways, and the way we think is lower than the ways of God. The way we do things is lower, is sinful ways, sinful thoughts, thoughts, they are not the righteous ways of God. And so when we are looking into the Word of God daily, we come to church daily, we are hearing the Word of God, which is light. It will shine, it will show up the darkness in our lives, the dark thoughts, the sinful attitudes and ways we speak, everything, the ways, the sinful ways we live daily, the light of the Word of God will show up these darkened ways. And of course, the Lord expects us to now choose to go His own ways. You know, when we realize that the way we've been doing things is wrong, He expects us, when we see by the light of His Word, to accept, to acknowledge that, oh, so I've been doing things in a very wrong way. And then to now embrace His own way. In other words, the way I've been talking, the attitude, oh Lord, so those are really very, very wrong words or very, very wrong attitude. Forgive me, I'm sorry, and then ask for grace to talk right or to do it right. You see, that is what the Lord expects of you and I. And when we yield to His own ways, as we are hearing the Word of God and we are yielding to His own ways, as we are knowing it from His Word and choosing to do things or think or talk as He will talk, that attitude of heart is the humble heart, is the perfect heart, is the sincere heart, is the honest heart. Heart is the perfect heart. And so you can see that in God's kingdom, as long as we are in this earthen vessel, we will be corrected. We will be corrected because only the spirit man is born again. The soul and the body, which is the flesh, the fleshy nature, is not born again. And so we will still sin, we will still think wrong thoughts and wrong things, wrong ways. And that is where the Word of God comes in to show to us the sinful ways of the flesh, which is the body and the thoughts, how we've been doing things. The Word of God will shine light, for in His light do we see what? Light. So we have the light of the Word of God to see that the way we are thinking, the way we are doing things, the way we are talking, the attitude is wrong. It is only the Word of God that will help us to realize our ways are sinful. The ways of man are corrupt, sinful, evil, wicked ways. But we won't know unless we allow the Word of God to shine into our lives and show us those evil ways. And this is where we need the humble heart, humility, the perfect heart. A humble heart will accept correction. For you have to understand the nature of God. The nature of God is to be a father to His children. And a father corrects his children. A father trains his children in the way they should go. So when we with humble heart accept the divine correction, then things will move in our lives according to God's plans. For I tell you, a humble heart will accept correction of its own sinful ways and then make a U-turn after repenting, after asking for forgiveness. Oh, I've done it this sinful way. So this thing that I did, is actually wrong. Lord, forgive me. And then the blood of Jesus will cleanse us anew. And then we move on with God. He will supply grace, as we saw that publican. After he repented, grace was supplied. And it's the same thing too, because we have to always understand sin is a barrier to God. Sin will always be a barrier between us and God, because God is holy, he's without sin. That is his own nature. So we are the ones who have to humble ourselves and allow him to get rid of the sinful ways out of our lives, so that we can benefit from him. And so we see a pattern with God. God corrects his own. We have to allow him to correct us. Please, let's put our hands in that Mark 4. Let's open to Proverbs chapter 3, and we will see verses 11 and 12. So a humble heart will always accept divine correction, because the whole aim is that we will start to obey God. We will start to do things the way God will do them, to think right, to walk in the ways of God. And how will we know unless we yield to correction? And how will we allow him to correct us if we don't keep looking into the word of God? And so you see that without looking into the word of God, we will just continue in our sinful ways, even though we are born again, and we will not benefit from God. And when we start to look into the word of God, we have to understand the word of God will correct us. The ways of God and the thoughts of God, the way God does things, they are in the word of God. And so when we are looking into the word of God, we will understand that we are not doing things right. And that is where the humbleness of heart comes in. For when we understand according to the word of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we are not doing things right, then we humble ourselves and repent and ask for forgiveness. And then we ask for grace to do it right. A humble heart is now ready to do things the way God will do them. And a humble heart will repent and make a U-turn, and is ready to do things the way God will do them. In other words, it is willing to obey God. It is willing to do the word of God. Please, let's read Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 11 to 12. Please, let's go. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrected, even as a father the son in whom he delighted. Amen. And so you can see this is the way of God. God will always correct his sons. God will always correct his sons. We have to understand that in God's kingdom, as his sons, he will correct us. His word will correct us. His spirit and his word, as we are looking into the word of life, our faults, the way we think, the attitude, the way we speak, where we have been going that we're not supposed to be going, how we've been doing things, the word of God will expose these to us. And a humble heart will accept the correction. The humble heart will acknowledge the correction, will not give excuses for doing things wrong, but will accept and yield and repent genuinely. Genuinely will repent, sorrowing, godly sorrow that leads to repentance, and then ask God for grace. We have to understand that all the arguments we give, all the headiness, is as a result of the conviction of the Word of God. We are reacting to the conviction of the Word of God. If we don't want to yield, we give excuses. But when we yield with a humble heart, we repent and we ask Him to forgive us. He will cleanse us with the blood of Jesus, and we receive grace to do it right. And so you see, correction, the Word of God, as we're hearing it, as we study it at home, will always correct us. It is now up to you whether you humble yourself to accept, to acknowledge the correction, and to be willing to think right, speak right, do things the way of God, have the right attitude, and then you receive grace, 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 grace. God will correct us when we are disobedient, so that we can turn around and start to obey Him. And so we see this is quite clear in the Word of God. The Word of God is the word of reproof, is the word of correction, is the Word of God that will teach us the righteousness of God, so that we are thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Please, let's open to, I think it's 2 Timothy. Yes, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's take it from verse 14 to 17, so that we see it, that all of our days on the face of the earth, as we look into the Word of God, the Word of God will correct us. He will show us things we are doing wrong, how we are living our lifestyle, and He expects us to humble ourselves and be willing to now live the right way, the way He expects us to live, which is the way of truth. It is the way of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 14, please let's go. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so again, we see a great key. Please, let's open to Isaiah chapter 55. We will see there that there is a turning from our ways that we knew, the ways of the flesh. We have to turn from it as we know them to be wrong. Without the Word of God, I tell you, you and I can never know when we are wrong. And so you see, with seeking the Word of God, we have it linked to to living the sinful ways and thoughts, and then we embrace His own ways. Isaiah chapter 55. Later, I will give the scriptures that you will need to also read at home. But let's take it from verse 6. Please, let's go. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. And so you see a great key with seeking the Lord. How do we seek the Lord? Searching the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in there you think you have life, isn't it? It is these same words that speak of Christ. And so as we are searching the scriptures now, the scriptures will correct us, will reprove us, show us what we're doing wrong. But look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. You see, we have to forsake the unrighteous ways, the ways that are not of God, and the ways we think, the attitude. We have to what? Forsake them. For the word of God will always correct us, reprove us of those ways as we are looking into the word of God. And then we forsake. How? Humble ourselves, ask for forgiveness, and then he will cleanse us anew with the blood of Jesus. For the blood of Jesus is still flowing. And then we receive grace to do it right, because now we want to live right. We've been corrected. Now look at verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see a great key. The thoughts of truth, they are different from the fallen ways, how we think. The mind is not born again, remember. The way God will think is separate from the way you and I will think. The way God will do things is separate from how you and I will do things. And so as we are knowing the ways of God, we realize that our own ways and our own thoughts, as we are knowing the thoughts of God, for the thoughts of God, they are written down for us, the Bible. The ways of God, they are written down for us, the Bible. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then we understand the attitudes, the thoughts, the ways we've been doing things, the way we've been acting, they are wrong. We repent. And then, because we've humbled ourselves, he will supply grace. Haven't you heard? God receives the proud and gives grace to who? The humble. To be humble is to accept divine correction. When God, our Father, is correcting us through his word by his Spirit, he expects his sons to accept, to yield, and to ask for forgiveness, and now want to do it right. Make that choice. I will do it the way of God, and he will supply grace. And this is part and parcel. This is the pattern of the way of the kingdom of God. And so again, we see that God treats his sons as sons. Sons of God are humble sons who yield to divine correction always. And he will supply grace. grace. Please let's open to Hebrews chapter 12 and you see the same thing. Right from Genesis, you always see God correcting his sons. Did he not go into the garden to correct Adam and Eve? He went there to ask them. In fact, before he got there, they knew the Holy Spirit was already convicting them that they have sinned, for he left them. And remember, the scripture says, if you are not, well, I'm paraphrasing now, if your heart condemns you, you will not be free with God. But if there is no condemnation of the heart, then have you liberty? You are free. You are free. Please, let's first read that. 1 John chapter 3. So, you see why they hid in the garden. Their heart condemned them of sin. And it's the same thing too. When you can't pray on your own and you are asking pastor to pray for you, if you tell me that, I will tell you, go and repent of your sin. Your heart is hiding from God because there's an unconfessed sin. So go in the privacy of your room, confess to him, and then pray in that situation. Pray for yourself. If you can't pray, if you are not free to pray to God and you want somebody else, simple, your heart is not free to God. All you have to do is just repent and he will forgive. No matter the nature of the sin, he will forgive. Please let's read 1 John chapter 3. Let's take it from verse 18. Please let's go. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See that? So, now we understand why Adam and Eve hid, isn't it? Their heart condemned them. The glory departed, telling them, look, you've done something wrong. And so they hid. And God had to call them out. Correct it. What have you done? And God is the same thing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anytime we, his sons, we do wrong, he will correct us. If we humble ourselves, we'll make a U-turn and accept correction. If we don't humble ourselves, then we are proud. And we know God receives the proud and gives grace to the humble. These things, we have to understand that we need to apply humility always, all of our days on the face of the earth, to the word of God. God will always tell us we are doing things wrong. We are doing things wrong. And we have to understand he will always tell us, this is the right way to do things. This is the right way to go. After all, we parents, we instruct our children, isn't it? Right from babyhood, isn't it? Saying, don't do that, do this. No, 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 no. It's the same way too. God is what? Taking us as his children. We have to understand the nature of God. And I tell you, if we don't allow this process to be established firmly in our lives, taking correction, allowing him to correct us, even no matter how old we are, then we won't benefit anything from him. Haven't we heard? God resists the proud. He works against the proud. He rejects the proud. He despises the proud. He removes himself far off from the proud. He's far from the proud. And so we have to understand these things. Please let's open to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's take it from verse 5 to 13 together. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 5 to 13. Please let's go. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he received. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Amen, amen. What are we saying? The same thing God had been telling us. He has been saying, endure correction and reproof. The word of God will show up all our sinful ways. We have to understand that only the spirit man is born again. So the leaves is still there. The soul will still do things wrong because he's not born again. The body is still with the corruption. And so the word of God will point out, as we are looking into the word of God will point out our faults. All we have to do is yield, accept, and don't give excuses. It's because he did this. That is why I did my own too. But God had said, what you have done is wrong. So accept your own part. Wait for God to go and tell the other party what God is telling you, that you have erred, you have done wrong. Don't give excuses. Repent. And then move on. And so again, verse 7 says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. So if you don't endure, you've made yourself into a bastard. In other words, he will be far from you. He will not treat you as a son anymore because you chose to be proud. It's quite clear. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? You have to understand, God has to correct us, his sons. If you don't want correction, you have made yourself to be a bastard, and you have said you are no longer his son. Pride, he will remove himself far from you. And then verse 8 says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all, now see that all the sons of God, the true sons of God, we must partake of the correction and reproof. He will tell us, this is the way, walk there in it. You will hear the voice of God telling you as you are reading the word of God, you've done something wrong. That way is wrong. This is the right way to do things. And so you can see, if we don't partake of it, then are you what? Bastards and not sons. Every one of us, if we truly want to be sons of God in our heart and are really sons of God, we have to humble ourselves and start to allow him to correct us. Instead of arguing, has God said we should pay tithe? No. Start yielding. Is that sin? God has not said it's really, really sin. No. You are being proud. You really don't understand. You have made yourself to be bastard. You have made yourself far off from God. And so we see that it is a great key. Of course, correction of our sinful ways. Correction of our lustful ways is grievous. Every one of us, we want God to tell us and those round about us to say we are the next best thing, you know, after sliced bread. Ah, you are doing it right. You know what? Right needs to come and learn from you how to be right. And then we know and say, yeah, you know, inflated egos. But God is not in the business of, you know, pampering overinflated egos. You either humble yourself or you remain proud for yourself. If you humble yourself, who will benefit? Isn't it you? And of course, if you are proud, who will also benefit in court? It is you. Don't you understand? The way of God is the narrow way. The thoughts of God belong to the narrow way. Obeying the word of God, that is the narrow way. Pride is the wide and broad way. And it leads to what? Destruction. The Lord will always correct us when we are going on the wide and broad way, when we are doing things broadly, in quote. He will correct us. And when we yield, immediately we receive grace to remove ourselves from the broad and wide way that leads to destruction back to what? The narrow way that leads to life. So if you don't accept correction, you will stay on the wide way. Pride leads to what? Destruction. Haven't you heard? Pride goeth first before what? Destruction. We all know it and we quote it and it's true. Pride is not yielding to corrective reproof of the word of God. Some, because they do not want to yield to God's correction, have stopped reading the Bible. It's true. Some will read it and will continue to read it out of pride. They will never know God. Is there in the scripture? Please, let's open to, Jesus. Yes, I think it's in Timothy. Yes, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I will encourage you to read it from verse 1 to 7. But I will just pick. Okay, let's read it together. Let's go from verse 1 to 7. Let's go. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, trust breakers, false accusers, incontinence, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now is not those silly women that verse 7 is talking about? It's talking about the proud, the high-minded, the boasters, the self-centered ones. He's talking about those who are proud, who refuse to yield to the correction of the Word of God. Yes, they will continue to read the Bible, but look at what verse 7 says. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because they refuse correction. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you have to understand humbleness of heart, the perfect heart, the heart that wants to obey God. The humble heart is the heart that truly loves God, you know. It is the perfect heart. It is the sincere heart. It is the heart that loves God. Now, if you look at right from Genesis, you see how God corrects. Even heathen kings, he corrected them and they yielded. You have to understand. Even David, he corrected him. All the prophets too yielded to godly correction. You have to understand that. After all, David was a prophet, isn't it? Abraham too was a what? A prophet. Father of faith. God even used a heathen king to correct him. You have to understand the ways of God. Pride is evil. Pride is sin. The man of pride is what? The devil. It's the satanic nature. We have to understand that. And God resists the proud. Please let's open to Psalm 138 verse 6. So it's not just reading the Bible. If you are reading the Bible with the right heart, you will see a correction, leaving off of sinful ways and going on to the right way. Psalm 138, verse 6. Please let's go. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth are far off. Let's go again. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth are far off. So now we see the lowly there is not talking about poor or rich in worldly goods. No, it's talking about the condition of the heart. If you humble yourself before your Maker, God, the Word of God, God and His Word are one and the same. If you reject the Word of God, you can't have anything from God, because God and His Word are one and same. And so we see that He hath respect unto the lowly. The Amplified says He brings them into fellowship with Him. But the proud and the haughty, he knows and recognizes only at a distance, because the pride is a sin. It is your sin that hath what? Separated you from God. So we have to understand this basic things. We have to understand the way of God. God resists the proud and grants grace. He supplies himself, he supplies everything of himself to the humble. The humble heart is also called the perfect heart. The humble heart is also called the heart that fears God. That fear that will make you to yield to correction and turn to the obedience of God. And the humble heart is also called the heart that loves God. For the heart that loves God obeys God. Please let's turn now to Mark chapter 4. We will now look at the parable of the sower. For then we will see that it is the humble heart that the word of God will be fruitful in their lives. The word of God will yield result. The word of God will bless the humble heart. The word of God will be breakthroughs, favors. The word of God will be in the life of the humble heart. You will receive the will of God. You will receive the purpose, the plans of God for your life at every stage of your life, because you are living with a humble heart before your God, and your God is with you. The Lord will not be far from the humble hearted. He dwells with the humble heart. He helps the humble heart. But the proud, he knows are far off. The proud, he will what? Abase. God works against the proud. Mark chapter 4. Let's take it from verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depths of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Now see a great key, the word of God. All the various types of soil. In other words, the various type of hearts. But look at verse 8. The good ground is the humble heart. The good ground is the perfect heart. The good ground is the good soil. Is the heart with the fear of God. The heart that yields to correction. All the other soil, there's something that is always there that prevents them from receiving the correction. I tell you, when God sends his word of correction to your heart and you refuse it, it will not yield fruit. You can see the other soils, they just grew a while, after some time, died off, isn't it? No fruit. But the good soil, because when the Lord sends his word of correction first time, once you refuse it, he resists you. He can't send his word of blessing. He sent his word and did what? Healed them and delivered them from destruction. In other words, the word of God did what it will do in the heart of those that are humble. And if you look at that Psalm 107, before verse 20, you will see they were walking in the wrong way till they repented, till they asked for help. Now, Asking for help without repentance will not do anything with God. So we know that they first repented because they were proud before, just like King Nebuchadnezzar. But when he repented, what happened? The word of God restored him back. And so we see a great key. When the Lord sent his word, remember he spoke through Daniel after God showed the king a vision warning him. Daniel was around to explain to him, you need to repent. You are doing things wrong. You need to repent. He refused. And the Lord worked against him, abased him. And it's the same thing too. Abased him. God works against the proud. We have to understand that. He abases the proud. He makes them of nothing. And so they were in trouble. But when they cried out in repentance, same way too, the king Nebuchadnezzar, he cried out in repentance. The Lord lifted him back. That's the way of God. Many of us, when we hear ourselves giving contrary things to the word of God, don't you know, realize that that is the evidence of God working against such a person? We have to understand it. And so, he was speaking proudly. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was speaking proudly. And it's the same thing too. Many, as you are arguing against the word of God, you are exhibiting pride. God receives the proud and grants grace to the humble. God works against the proud. God abases the proud. And so we see he sent the sower sows the word. Of course, the word of correction. But because they did not yield, they did not heed the correction, no fruit. But look at verse 8. Others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Please let's look at the Luke account. And then we will see the same thing. Let's zero down to verse 11 to 15 in that Luke 8. Okay, let's go. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit toward perfection. See a key. They are on the wide way. They refuse. That wide way is pleasurable. They refuse to heed or yield to correction and remain on the wide way. And it's the same thing too. But look at verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Please underline that. See, the humble heart is honest, sincere. When God says you have done something wrong, the honest heart will accept. like that publican. The honest heart. And I tell you, if you read Luke chapter 3, when John the Baptist started preaching, you will see how those who had immediately, they repented. And they asked, how should we now believe in? And John said, those of you who were taking taxes over the correct amount, take the amount that you've been told to take from the people as taxes. Don't overcharge. And you, soldiers, be content with your money, with your salary. Don't go and oppress the poor to take more. And so they accepted, they asked, how should we now live? So now you see the way of God is separate from the human falling ways. The humble accepts correction to go on the right way. And don't say grace covers it. No. Those are the words of a proud heart that is not willing to obey God. And so again, you see verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So now we see that we need to apply humility to the word of God, the humble heart. Now, it's not that the word of God does not have power. The word of God, if you look at it, the word of God, the only begotten son, filled with what? Truth and grace, power. The word of God, God has power. But there's something God does to the soil, to the humble soil. You have to understand. Not only does he bring near the humble soil, the good soil, to fellowship with him, he inhabits, he fills the soil with himself, making the soil more what? Productive. Remember, the humble heart is already the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He fills the humble heart with himself. Remember, the Holy Spirit is already dwelling inside of that soil. But the substance of that soil, the good heart, Father and Son comes to dwell in that soil. Please, let's open to John chapter 14. We will see. So, you can see the lowly, the humble heart. God gives grace. He supplies himself. He makes the humble heart more fruitful. I tell you, he is with the humble heart. He looks upon the humble heart all of your days, my days. If we humble ourselves, he will look upon us. He will fill us up. He's dwelling already on the inside of us, but he will also come and make his abode in that soil. John 14. Please, let's look at verse 21. Please, let's go. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Let's drop down to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Have you seen that? The humble soil is a soil that loves God, sincere, perfect heart. Now we see it here. He will come and dwell. See, not only is the word of God in that soil, God himself will also. Remember, God and his word are one and the same, isn't it? So where the word of God is, God is. So he says, because you are humble, he will come and dwell in the spirit man. He is already at the center. Remember, the Holy Spirit is already dwelling on the inside of us and is the same glory. In other words, more and more to overflowing. You see, he will be flooding us with himself like a river. He will make the soil, the good heart, very fertile. He will do great and mighty things. He will be looking upon you daily because he's not far from you. You are humble. He will be looking upon you all of your days on the face of the earth because he is with you. He is in you, filling himself, making you more and more fertile, making you more and more fertile. And we see this had already been prophetically prophesied concerning you and I. Please let's open to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We will see something there. Tell somebody, you are the good soil of God if you humble yourself all of your days on the face of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, please let's open to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 to 10. For this is the goal of God. See, we have seen it, that good soil was yielding 30, 60, 100, increasing measures, isn't it? The fruit, the word of God was bearing fruit increasingly. Same thing too. That is what the Lord intends for you and I, if we walk humbly before him all of our days on the face of the earth. We have to understand these things. Please let's take it from verse 7 to 10. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now, see a great key there, the good land. See all what is in that land. Now, we are the good soil, the humble one, the good heart. That is the goal of God for us. That everyone will be saying concerning you and I that we are a good land filled with water, fountains and depths springing out. We are watered garden. Even the garden of Eden will be jealous of you and I. Please let's open to forward to chapter 11 and let's see verse 9 to 12. And then you will understand what the Lord is telling us. Deuteronomy chapter 11 from verse 9 to 12. Let's go. And that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence you came out. where thou sowest thy seed, and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heavens, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year unto even unto the end of the year. See a great key. God himself is with that land, isn't it? He is the one watering the land, making that land to be fruitful. All what we read in chapter 8, verses 7 to 10, is the result of the work of God on that land. Please let's read verse 12 again. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. See a great key. So the good soil, the sincere heart, God not only makes his abode in that soil, he looks after it. His eyes is always upon that soil. His eyes, those eyes, they shine rays of grace. His eyes is always on that soil. You and I, God was already prophesying concerning you and I that we will be the good soil. You have to understand, only be humble. Only be humble. Look at brass, iron, you see springs. Who is the spring? God himself. He's the fountain of life. He will make his abode in the humble heart, the good soil. He will make the soil fruitful. Please let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Please let's go. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So we see a key. He giveth power. He giveth himself to the humble heart, to make the good soil, the humble heart, to be a good land, prospering in every ramification, in everything, every way. Spirit, soul, body, your household, everything about you. Because you are humble, you tremble at his word to do, because you love to obey him. Now you know that that grace covers sin. You can do whatever you like. You know that his pride is separation from God. It is to prevent you being the promised land, the good soil, the good land. Look at gold and brass and iron. Good things, the land yielding fruit. In other words, the will of God, the plans and purposes of God, everything you reap, you harvest. All of your days on the face of the earth, you will be a fruitful ground on the face of the earth. Because God is always with the humble. God grant grace to the humble to lift him or her up. God is with the humble, looks upon the humble. to make them fruitful. He makes his abode with the humble to make them prosperous, spirit, soul, and body round about them. He is the favor of the humble heart. So now you see why we need to apply humility to the word of God. The word of God prospers and is fruitful in the humble heart. Please let's look at Isaiah chapter 66, and we also see there that he looks upon the humble so as to prosper them. He dwells in the humble. He makes his abode with the humble. He helps the humble to be fruitful. Isaiah chapter 66. Let's drop down to verse 2. Please, let's go. For all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. See again. He looks upon the humble. Let's open to Numbers chapter 6 to round it up, you know, to understand. He looks. The look of God is wonderful. He's filled with healing. He's filled with grace to do all things. And so again, not only has he come to make abode in the substance of the humble, he also looks upon the humble with what? Powerful rays, healing rays, blessed rays. He looks upon and bless the humble. So we have to understand these things. Numbers 6, please let's take it from verse 22 to the end. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. See, he's looking. He's look. See the description of the Lord's look. His look of what? Blessing. The Lord looks upon the humble, the good soil, sincere heart, the one who is honest to God and honest to self and honest to those round about and to all men. Sincere heart. The heart that yields to what? Correction. Please let's go back to Mark chapter 4. And you will see with that parable, you will see heeding. You have to heed the word of God. It is there too. Mark chapter 4. Let's read verse 23 and 25 to 25. Let's go. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Now, see a great key. Take heed. In other words, yield to the correction of the word of God. Take heed. Heed the word of God. Hearken. Yield to the corrective reproof. And this is after the good soil. So we have to understand the word of God and the ways of God together. And we give him all the glory. So tell somebody, God will look on you with the eyes of blessing. God will come and live in you if you humble yourself all of your days on the face of the earth. God will make you a fruitful land. that even the Garden of Eden would be jealous of you. Let's give him all the glory. Let's thank him for his word. And so, please, let's thank God for his word. Let's give him all the glory for his word. We give him all the glory that he's in our lives to make us fruitful, to bless us, to help us all of our days on the face of the earth. If we humble ourselves and we give God all the glory that we have chosen to humble ourselves, tell him you have chosen to humble yourself, to be treated as a son. You want him to correct you, to reprove you of those wrong thoughts, wrong ways, wrong words, wrong attitudes. You want him to correct you because you are his son. And ask him for grace to yield to correction, to understand when he's correcting you. Ask him for grace, grace to truly be his son, to be one who yields to correction, to reprove, to be the one who trembles at the word of God, that you have chosen to humble yourself, to obey the word of God. You want to leave the narrow way, the narrow and hard way. You have chosen to walk the narrow and hard way of life in the name of Jesus. His way. You've chosen to have his thoughts, to speak his words. You've chosen to be corrected and trained and brought up as his son. And so ask him for grace to humble yourself all of your days on the face of the earth. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. And then any wrong way, let us confess and ask him to forgive us. Any wrong thought, any wrong attitude, Lord, forgive us all. Every one of us in this church, every one of us in your body, Lord of Lords, every child, every adult, every male, every female, Lord, forgive us. Every one of us, your sons on the face of the earth, in the name of Jesus. And those who are walking proudly and yet say they are your sons, Lord, give them a contrite and repentant heart in the name of Jesus. Grant them grace to see the errors of their ways and turn from the broad and wide way and return unto the narrow and hard way in the name of Jesus. Open the eyes of their understanding in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. It is by your grace, Lord, that we're still on the narrow and hard way. Keep us in your narrow and hard way in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes to all the errors of our ways in the name of Jesus. And grant us grace to yield to correction in the name of Jesus. To humble ourselves. Lord, we thank you for a fresh cleansing of our heart with the blood of Jesus. All of us in this place, all of us in this church, all of us in your body in the name of Jesus. Thank you for a fresh cleansing with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. Lord of Lords, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for removing pride from us. Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.